Have you ever had a feeling that something dreadful was about to happen?
This whole premise is sweaty.
Okay, moving right along.
You gonna plagiarize the whole thing for us? Do you have any thoughts of your own on this matter?
Just remember that this thing isn't as black as it appears.
Hold on to your butt.
The only difference between me and a homeless man is his job.
I'm glad you're here to tell us.
I'm looking for the least possible amount of responsibility.
And that ain't bad.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
Man's got to know his limitations.
I'm glad you came back.
The in the bag.
Network.
I drink it up.
Welcome to the Bag Pod, everyone. We've got a nice little sports slash TV edition. Don't worry, we will not be rehashing any Mad Men or Game of Thrones. We've got actually a little bit new TV, but that'll come a little later. Right now, we've got Eugene.
All right.
And, of course, Jimmy TV.
Hello.
Let's dive right into this here. We were going to do just an NHL slash NBA playoff pod for the sports, but with the shocking news from the NFL today regarding two linebackers, we felt that we had to at least make a comment. The first would be the untimely death that is perhaps a suicide, no one really knows, of Junior Seau. I don't know what to say. I mean, if it is a suicide, I guess it kind of makes sense. He seemed to be grasping for, towards the end of his career, he was always coming back to the Patriots like halfway through the season. He couldn't stay unretired. It seemed like, he was having trouble making that transition from the NFL to retirement. And interestingly enough, I don't believe he was ever really brought in as an analyst, which they seem to do ad nauseum now. So, I don't know. How do you guys feel about this news about Junior Seau?
Well, I mean, I agree with you. He had some tough transitions. I mean, you know, there's some guys that don't really want to do the analyst thing, but this is very similar to the guy, I forget what team he played on, who also committed suicide with the shotgun to the chest, almost as a statement because he wanted his brain to be used for the study of the hard hits do to players. And I do know that the concussions, the long-term multiple concussions do cause depression. So, I mean, part of me wants to say it had to be a suicide. But then again, I mean, a guy who was, you know, super rich, who knows, maybe someone came over there trying to take something from him. But I have to say, all around, it's pretty sad, man. Junior Seau, I never liked the Chargers at all, but, you know, I always liked him as a player, worked hard, did his thing. So I have to say, it's pretty disappointing.
Yeah, the guy you were talking about was Dave Durson, I think. I read that earlier for the Bears. I can't remember if that was his last name or if that's how you pronounce it, but it was something like it. Hasn't Seau had some personal problems in the past year? Like, wasn't he driving a car that, like, ran off a cliff or something like that? Instead, he just fell asleep?
That does sound a little familiar, where he was driving super fast and then he passed out or something behind the car.
Yeah, so I mean, I think there was a lot going on that hasn't really come out yet, or you know, kind of hopefully maybe won't. But yeah, obviously, no one wants to see this.
Yeah, he was definitely a beast. He basically kept the Chargers relevant there as a national franchise for a while.
Until they got LT. I mean,
yeah.
Who else did they have? I have to be honest with you, I'm not sure I could. Ryan Leaf. That's the only other like pre-LT player I can remember on the Chargers.
Yeah, but that
from
wasn't,
the our ages.
Yeah, that wasn't for good play either. That was something completely different.
That's the wrong direction.
Yeah, but Junior, he had that. He of course was known for his little steakhouse there out in San Diego, and he actually tried to make a sort of weird TV transition. He had that show on Versus, I think, right, where it was like weird sports jobs or something.
I did not see that.
I saw a couple episodes. I mean, it wasn't all that interesting, but you know, what can you do? But,
yeah, well, a lot of Versus shows. Didn't Bo Jackson have some sort of hunt fish show on? Oh no, that's on the outdoor. That's on the Outdoor Life.
I believe that turned into Versus, didn't it? And now it's NBC Sports.
Oh no, there is still an Outdoor Life Network, my friend.
Oh,
Dave Matthews, I believe, has a outdoorsman's show.
Oh, yikes.
Okay, yeah. But yeah, no. I mean, it's sad news, but I don't know. not much you can do now, I suppose. He always seemed to be one of those guys that, you know, was gregarious and, you know, was intense off the, on the field, but, you know, like a fairly good-natured guy on the field, off the field, so.
I guess my question for the whole thing is, like, you know, how, in a way, you know, what you're saying, Bagman, is true. Like, are we ever really all that shocked? I mean, I feel like it's almost we're more shocked when a player has, like, a really good post-career, sort of second career kind of thing and doesn't have their life completely fall apart, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it was always just interesting that they never tried to bring him into the analyst role. I mean, it was clear that, I mean, if he just wanted to disappear from the limelight, he would have never done that with TV show, you know? So, and I mean, he's arguably better. I mean, he's probably a lot better than Teddy Bruschi.
Yeah, please, Teddy Bruschi, who I think is equally outraged at all points.
Yes. So, I don't know, but sad news. The other tidbit of information from the NFL has, I guess, a little bit more bearing on what is actually going on the field this year.
But a good segue, though.
Thank you. It was until you mentioned it.
I just like to compliment. I like to compliment my co-podmates whenever I can, Bagman.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. In any case, Jonathan Vilma getting suspended for the entire year. The sentence coming down from the NFL higher ups. Eugene, you wrote the article a couple weeks ago regarding the Saints bounty system. Do you think this suspension is justified, and or if not, what do you think would have been a better suspension?
Well, I don't think the suspension is justified. I mean, you know, as I alluded to you off pod, Bagman, I mean, what is the, you know, where's the T-sizzle? Where are the Ravens, you know, retro? I mean, because this is all retroactive on Vilma and on all these people. I mean, some of it, I believe, for Williams is going back to his days at the Skins. So I just wonder, you know, I guess you could say, oh, well, there's a new focus, da 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 da. But if you're going to go back and get people, why not get the other people who went out in public and said, yes,
we
did this? You know, so I think that it's overdrawn in a way. And I also think that this is classic NFL management reactive, like, okay, now there's a problem. We're not just NFL, pro sports, college sports. You know, a kid gets caught paying money or getting paid money in college, and the next thing you know, they have all these new rules. There's a bunch of lawsuits by ex-players, so all of a sudden the NFL cares about these hits. But, you know, I just wonder, what are we really getting out of this? Because as I have people who are reading the in-the-bag with 2Gs.com website will have seen that, you know, this is essentially a performance bonus, or it's at least akin to one. So I don't know all the ins and outs of the collective bargaining agreement, but it seems to me that you could easily just continue a bounty system under a different name. And we do know that there are playoff bonuses. So, I mean, why not turn the playoff bonus, you know, maybe give it, bump it up a notch and then give it to people for having a bunch of hard hits throughout the season. So, I mean, I feel that, you know, the NFL is really dancing around the real issue, which is that this is a violent game. This kind of behavior, I think, is what you should be expected based on the way the game has always been played. And, you know, is that something, you know, every player knows that bad things can happen to them. They can get hurt, that there's guys out there who are out there to hurt them, whatever players may say. So what are we really doing? I mean, we need to talk about, if we're going to talk about this, let's just talk about the game itself and, you know, what we get from it and what we desire from it, but not have these, you know, ridiculous suspensions that really will just drive the bounty system, I think, into another realm.
Well, I mean, they are, I mean, it could be a legal thing as well, where you were willfully trying to injure someone for
but
money
it's a
or
legal thing, though, because
I mean, not
I mean,
really, but it kind of it should be, but it isn't because, you know, the NFL polices itself or whatever.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying that. I mean, I realize that football is a tough game and that you know, it's been like this for forever. But if you want to change, if you need to make whole-scale changes rather quickly, you always kind of need a scapegoat. And, I mean, it just happened to be the Saints.
Yeah, well, and Jonathan Vilma. I mean, I'm just wondering if there's going to be a scapegoat. Why are only Saints players? I mean, we have other utterances of people active in the league saying that they and their team. I mean, I keep bringing up the Ravens. I know some people think, oh, he's from Washington. He's just hating on the Ravens. But, I mean, you know, Terrell Suggs said deliberately that they had a bounty out on Hyde's Ward, yeah, that they deliberately tried to hurt Reggie Bush, the immortal quote, we put some hot sauce on that ankle. So, I mean, it just seems like, why not get them too? I mean, if you're going to have a scapegoat, get everybody.
True.
No, I mean, that's a great point. And even, like, I'm sure the Bucks defense back, you know, in the 90s when they won their Super Bowl or whenever that was, I'm sure they're, you know, are you really going to tell me Warren Sapp never said that he was out there to hurt somebody and didn't get paid for it? You know, like, him and Simeon Rice weren't, you know, doing the same thing. Like, I'm sure if you look at pretty much every dominant aggressive defense in the past, you know, ever since the NFL's been around, you can find something if you want to look for it. I guess what I would say is, Gene, kind of going along with you, is, I mean, why dance around that when, I mean, let's just get to the issue. Like, the issue is that players possibly are getting hurt and maybe have the option of suing the league. So I think it would be a better idea if the league took a more interest into how the players are getting hurt. You know, like they've been doing, cutting down on head hits. Maybe start trying to get rid of leg hits if that's at all possible. I mean, a lot of the times when people aren't getting, like, seriously hurt from head hits, it's basically because they're getting their knees blown out or something like that. So trying to find a way to limit that. I mean, you know, it's a violent game. It's going to happen, but try to limit the hits that get your players on the sidelines, because that's not helping anyone out.
That's true. I mean, they already have kind of done the whole leg hit thing, at least for the quarterback, where, you know, the D lineman isn't allowed to crawl on his belly and then, you know, wrap around his ankles. So.
Just go directly down to below the waist.
Right. I'd like to see them, for some of these controversial head hits, go to, and maybe this is crazy, an end of the season fine, because so much of it is just so arbitrary. I feel like maybe if they took some time, and maybe this is not true, to look at the body of the season and put every hit that they think they should fine $50,000 or whatever in the context of everything else. And I think that then you would actually see it being more fair and the fines being adjudicated in such a way that players didn't feel as upset about it, because it'd be clear, you know, how the decision was being made compared to, you know, 16 weeks of work.
Yeah, but what you're kind of getting into there is a little bit, I guess, kind of maybe what the NHL has going on, where they kind of look to see what the injured player, like what their prognosis is and when they're going to come back on. And when that starts happening, things really start to get kind of screwy.
Good point.
It just leaves a lot more kind of in limbo and a lot more up to interpretation. And obviously when things are as serious as people getting suspensions and fine money and stuff like that, you hate for it to be this big deal on, you know, I mean, Brandon Shanahan gets a lot of shit because they like to say they, like, you know, throws darts at a board or, you know, spins like a Wheel of Fortune thing, and then whatever comes on is, you know, the suspension or punishment or whatever. So, you don't want to see that.
True.
Yeah, he's also come under question for not suspending and or fining, you know, the better players. Like, he gave Rafi Torres there for that first round hit 25-game suspension. And, you know, Rafi Torres is basically just an NHL goon. So clearly if it was like maybe a Sedin or something along those lines, the suspension would have been less, I suppose.
Yeah.
But, yeah, NHL playoffs, I love the playoffs. They are always – I think I just love it basically because, besides the suspense where – you know, every goal basically counts, and anything, I mean, most NHL goals, you don't even know it's like going in the net unless it's a breakaway. Mm. And so it's always just crazy at the end of games to play that defense. They always, the winning team always ends up just crowding around the net and hoping that a puck doesn't squirt through. But yeah, I don't know. The NHL playoffs definitely in full swing right now. We've got a Washington Caps fan in Eugene. What is your relationship to the Caps at the moment? I mean, they've had – we all know – or not all of us, but some of us know that you used to work at the MCI Center. Is that what?
Now the Verizon Center, but I appreciate that.
And, you know, this year was a very, very tenuous year, if you will. Between Bruce Boudreau getting fired in the middle of the year and Dale Hunter becoming the coach and really trying to change the entire physical and defensive philosophy of the team, how invested are you in the Caps this year?
I'm very invested in the Caps this year. Unfortunately, I don't have NBC Sports Network, but, you know, we'll see if we can remedy that. You know, we didn't have HBO, and I was able to bring that into our lineup. So hopefully I'll be able to give you some informed Caps commentary as we go forward here. But, you know, I'm very invested. Obviously, I don't work there anymore, but I think this has been a big year for the Caps. What they needed to me was adversity. I mean, you know, this is a team that every year was handed sort of the Stanley Cup before it happened. Oh, they're the best team. They have the best players. They're going to win the most games. And, you know, they had a real star system, a celebrity system. I mean, having been able to observe the team, not super up close, and as people I'm sure have seen with the media about Bruce being gone, you know, if you were a star, you could pretty much do whatever you wanted. And it's hard to get guys to buy into any sort of system when they feel that, you know, the guy who sells the most jerseys, if he doesn't, and I mean, I guess I'm just talking about OV here, if he doesn't want to play defense, it's all good. If he doesn't want to show up on time, it's all good. And Gabby, as our friend Dale Hunter has known, has just come in and just cut that out. And I think that's right. I mean, we've seen OV have less playing time. And everybody's buying in because they see results. So what's going to happen with the Rangers? We'll just have to see. But I have to say, I think I and most other Caps fans are probably more jacked up this year than we've really ever been in the past, because it really does seem like this team is just out to win it. They've got heart. They want to scrap. So we'll see.
That's interesting. I mean, usually when you're a front runner like the Caps have been over the years, that's when the fans are the most excited. But I guess now that they've changed their whole philosophy.
Well, I think it was because we were losing. I mean, listen, hockey was not big in Washington at all until the past decade. And then when they started to win games, then everyone was a bandwagon fan. But after, you know, two or three seasons of, like, winning the most games and, you know, having all these good players, it was just kind of – it was getting ridiculous. So I think now a lot of people were very worried about the Caps this year. But now people are pumped up. And with the Nats playing good too, this is like – it's really springtime in Washington from a sports perspective, plus RG3.
Yeah, exactly. Jake, Jimmy TV, unfortunately, your team did not make it out of the first round.
Gone.
How do you feel about losing to not just any team, but a team that I believe the NHL has owned for the better part of 2 years and that happens to reside in Phoenix, Arizona?
Yeah, obviously it stinks a lot. Luckily, I guess I would say – Phoenix is actually obviously a pretty decent team, and you know, I don't think anyone was really sure they were going to have any kind of success in the second round, just because they don't have any known name players. Even their goalie is a little suspect. So, he was going into the season. So you know that it looked really bad as it was going on, especially since Chicago always has so much talent, front end talent, I should say. Their roster actually is pretty little weak when it starts to get depthy. But yeah, that obviously stung at the time, considering, Washington just tied it up 1-1, in case anyone was curious.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. But with Phoenix winning the first two games of that series against Nashville, I feel a little bit more justified, considering the fact that we took them to 5 straight overtime games. What's so great about the NHL playoffs is, you know, like you were saying, just anything can happen at any time. Like, when I'm watching a game, I don't want to miss a second of it. The NBA playoffs has been going on, and I
weave
in and out of games. I'll watch for 30 seconds. I'll dick around for a half hour, come back. I'll forget a game's on, come back, and the next game's on. You know, I just have – and maybe it's because I actually liked the team that was in the playoffs and that got me going to begin with. But, I mean, you know, it's just so much more fun to watch. And kind of I guess what Gene was saying with the Capitals, it kind of just goes in with everything, with the entire sport. But all the players are just so invested at this point. And you can – God, they're just flying around every second they're on the ice. And I guess part of it also goes into the way they play with these 40-second shifts and then they get their rest. So – they're really able to be out there for, you know, giving their best effort for, you know, 60 minutes of the game. And it's just incredible to watch.
Yeah, I mean, another thing about the NHL playoffs that is really different from, I'd say, any of the other playoffs is the fact that it seems like any team has a chance to win. In the NFL, sure, you have wild cards that make it and win the Super Bowl. But there you only have six teams, and, you know, you can easily have a team that's good, like the Giants, that played like crap in the, you know, in the regular season, and that
swept by the Redskins. Just want to put that in there.
Yeah, and then turn it on in the playoffs. Whereas in the NHL, you have some teams that you feel as though they shouldn't even be in it, and then they end up, you know, giving everyone a game. And I mean, this year especially with all of the upsets, first round upsets, if you will. I mean, it feels as though the NHL playoffs really can be won by anyone.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I mean, there's almost no other sport where you feel like, okay, that team's up 5-1 going into the third period. There's no way that this team is going to come back. And then you walk out of the room and you come back with 5 minutes left, and all of a sudden it's a game. It's 5-4. I mean, it really is maybe, I don't know. Well, I don't want to make a bold statement. It's the most exciting sport or something, but it's certainly, I think, one of the major sports, the one that's the least predictable. And I think that's the thing about the NBA playoffs is that to so many of the first round, second round kind of stuff, it seems almost preordained. I mean, it's like beginning of the season, these two teams are going to be in the championship, and it almost always works out pretty close within two or three teams, four or five.
Yeah.
You definitely always know the teams are going to be there. You know, like you were saying, in the Western or Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA, like, I mean, everyone on the face of the world would have told you the Heat were going to be there. They're obviously going to be there at this point. But yeah, I mean, with hockey, I mean, Christ, there's no way in hell anyone thought the Coyotes would be this far. People who thought the Kings would make it this far probably thought their offensive talent would actually be kind of carrying them a little bit more. And they've actually been kind of downright shitty until this past series started getting going. Mm-hmm. So, even with the Caps, I mean, I don't think anyone – I mean, people might have thought at the beginning of the season the Caps are going to do good, but, you know, a quarter of the way through the season, people are like, what the fuck, you know?
I mean, no one thought they were going to make it. I mean, it wasn't just Bruce Boudreau. I mean, people wanted the whole front office thrown out because we were going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, the week before, it was like 1 or 2 weeks before, they were fighting for the eighth playoff seed there.
Yeah.
And now look where they are. They're in the conference.
Your Buffalo Sabres were bubbling up a little bit there, Bagman, trying to do something.
Yeah, they unfortunately, they dug themselves too big of a hole in the earliest part of the season. But, yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do?
No, nothing now, I guess.
Truth.
But, yeah, the NHL playoffs definitely underway. Do we have what are our predictions right now? Eugene, why don't you go first? You have any Stanley Cup? You might not need to pick a Stanley Cup final winner, but at least maybe the two cup teams.
Oh, that's tough. Oh, man, I wasn't ready to make a prediction. I mean, obviously, just rocking for the love, I have to say that the Caps are going to win it all. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but I feel like if I don't say that, then I'm not truly a Caps fan. I don't even want to entertain anyone else winning the cup.
Well, I mean, your boy Holtby, too, might be the hottest goaltender.
Holtby is making moves right now. And the fact that he wasn't even that good when he was playing on Hershey Bears there. So I don't know what happened. But, you know, cream rises to the top, man.
I guess so. So you've got the Caps coming out of the East. How about the West?
I mean, this is much tougher for me to figure out who's going to come out of the West, you know what I'm saying? Because I didn't watch a ton of Western Conference hockey. And so I have to say, I mean, you know, part of me, Jake made the good point I thought about, you know, Phoenix having the hot hand. So you almost want to go with the hot hand and see if you can ride it. But I mean, I feel like I'm just kind of saying that just off gut more than any real, you know,
fair enough.
Belief.
All right. Jake, what do you got for us? What, you got any predictions?
I kind of have the opposite thing as Gene, and probably you two bags, where I watch a lot of Western Conference, but not a lot of Eastern Conference. The Eastern Conference games that I did see this year were mostly Rangers, Penguins games, you know, stuff like that, things that I would see nationally and whatnot. And I've always been really impressed with the Rangers, and even though they had to scrape by to beat Ottawa, I think that's the exact kind of team that they are. And durable, you know, they'll take some bad losses, and then they'll bounce back pretty easily. You know, they're just to kind of play that style. So I think they're going to end up coming out of the East. And at this point, I would say the Kings. I think they're far and away playing the best all-around hockey. I mean, Christ, I think they've had like 6 or 7 shorthand goals at this point. Mm-hmm. They'll honestly score at any point given the opportunity. So they're playing really opportunistic on offense. They play really good defense. And contrary to what you just said with Holtby, I think Jonathan Quick is currently the best goalie in the league.
Okay. Yeah, Quick is definitely no slouch. I believe he was Ryan Miller's backup in the last Olympics.
Way to get that plug in there for Ryan Miller, my friend.
Yeah, he was terrible this year.
I really want to pick the Kings as well, but it seems like in the NHL playoffs every year there's one upset team that like is super hot.
And then gets put in their place. And then gets reamed by somebody.
Exactly. So, I mean, I'm a little skeptical. I think the Kings will make it to the conference finals. I mean, ideally, I would love to pick the Predators, but they've just been shitting the bed here.
Them and the Blues, man, they have their heads up their asses right now.
Conference semis, so I don't even know.
How do you pick a hockey team from Nashville? You know what I'm saying?
It's true. Yeah. They've got a real nice roster. It's hard.
They do. That roster will not be there next year. This is their year.
I'll go out on a limb. I'll pick the Predators. I think, you know, they're down 2-0 right now, but a little adversity in the playoffs kind of wakes you up. Plus, they had a real long layoff there.
Yeah.
It did.
So maybe they're still getting the rust off. So I'll pick the Predators in the Cup Finals. And I actually believe that the hottest team at the moment in the East would be the Philadelphia Flyers, despite their loss last night to the Devils. So, I don't know. The Flyers, like I mentioned in my Western Conference or my Eastern Conference playoff column article earlier this week, Brizgalov is real wishy-washy. You might get a nice game out of him, and then you might get a real shit game out of him. He was definitely not as solid as you might want in the first series of the playoffs. But if he can turn it on a little bit, I really like the Flyers' offense. I think they're gritty, and they just come in waves. And I really like the Flyers, so I think I'm going to pick Flyers, Preds in the Stanley Cup Finals.
All right.
Dig it.
Yeah. But we mentioned the NBA earlier. Their playoffs have just started up. Before we get there exactly, I just want to say I think the fact that the NBA playoffs started later this year is a real boost to the NHL, especially if they could get more games televised
on national TV.
Yeah, on basic cable. The fact that, I think the NHL definitely is a much more exciting brand of sport than the NBA. I mean, you don't even need to watch the first, 42 minutes of the game in an NBA game. You can easily turn that thing on halfway through the fourth quarter and get all the excitement that you need, unless it's a blowout. So I think I'd be interested to see if maybe the NHL's popularity doesn't pick up a little bit because the NBA playoffs started about a week, 2 weeks later than usual, because they usually start right on top of each other. So
they do. They definitely do. And I think it's been great for the NHL to establish what they've had going on and for it to be as exciting as it has been and, controversial, too, with all the refereeing and the game misconducts and all that. Mm-hmm. So for them to already be drawing so much attention while the NBA was, throwing games away to try to get a higher lottery pick.
Yeah.
could definitely only help the NHL, and they had, record numbers in the first round. So, yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see if that continues going up against the NBA games.
Mm. Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I mean, I think that the NHL definitely has a chance to pick up popularity here. I mean, I think what we've seen in some of the emerging markets, I mean, it obviously hasn't worked out in every city, but, I mean, cities like Washington, for example, that were, like, not even remotely hockey cities, now it's huge. So I think even though that's a small example, it shows that I think if you really start to watch the game and follow teams, you really can get into it. And I think basketball, I mean, as we've said, it's just if you don't have to watch the first couple of rounds, it may be more generically popular, but who's really going to tune in? The real question will be when it gets to the later rounds, what's going to happen.
Well, you mentioned the Nashville Predators earlier, and, how could you pick a team from Nashville? They have become an insane hockey town down there. Mm-hmm. So, I think you've got to give props to where they're due. You'd never think that a Tennessee a somewhat large Tennessee city would adopt hockey like it has with the Predators.
Well, of course not. I mean, look what happened to the Thrashers.
Yeah, well, Atlanta has never liked hockey.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. This is the team who had to stage a fake arrest of their mascot to try to sell season tickets.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, you do, but if I'm living in DeKalb County, I'm a little upset that my taxpayer dollars were used to arrest the Thrashers mascot.
Well, now
the
he's
Thrasher.
A, now he's a Jet. So, and once you're a
and
Jet,
when
you're
a Jet
all the
Jet
way.
Hey.
Yes. It is. Great minds nice. Think alike.
That's very true.
Anyway, NBA playoffs. I've been pretty surprised at the fact that there's been so many blowouts. I mean,
Antonio blowing out Utah right now, 97-59 with 8 minutes left in the fourth.
Yeah, and San Antonio should not be blowing out anyone.
Oh, dude, no. San Antonio, have you seen any of their games recently?
They're good, I'm just saying they're so old. Come on.
Dude, they are playing dirty right now, Bags. They are insanely good, and they have such a great roster. It's not you make fun of them for being old because they have Tim Duncan. I mean, that's really
Stephen Jackson.
Stephen Jackson's kind of old, but he's a backup player. Man is up there, but he's not that old.
He's pretty old.
You got to make a difference between the veterans and the old guys. So they also have, they got DeJuan Blair, who doesn't have any cartilage in his knees, and he's young. Yeah,
his knees aren't, but he is.
And they have some other pretty good guys. Boris Diaw's been playing well for them. One of my old, Suns players.
Yeah, no doubt.
Phoenix Flames.
Can't be mad at that.
It's just been surprising to see how many. I mean, usually in the NBA playoffs. Teams, I mean, you will see a couple blowouts, but it seems like, except for Atlanta, Boston, and Oklahoma City, Dallas, every other series has featured at least one, if not two, blowouts. Now, of course, the Bulls got blown out last night, and they blew out the 76ers the first game, so that's kind of a weird, up and down for them.
But. Yeah, but without Derrick Rose, the Bulls are a total wild card to me.
Yeah.
And I've liked Philadelphia all season because they play defense.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and like you said, the Bulls prove they can win games without Derrick Rose, but he definitely gives them that stability of always, at the very least, being in competitive games, which they don't have anymore. So, yeah, unless John Lucas is raining three balls, you're not really sure what you're going to get out of them. So it'll be interesting to see how they go through this season. Those shots of Derrick Rose last night were, hard to watch.
Yeah.
Did you see him like limp out and give the ball to the ref?
He looked so pissed off.
Oh man! And then they showed him in the press box and no one was around him, and they did this like long slow pan away from him. It was so.
Yeah, it's gotta be
bad.
You know he wants to play. I mean, and he really is basketball kind of is. His thing. I mean, he's not into being a celebrity, so I know not being out there. I mean, some of the guys when they're out. I mean, Dwight Howard, I'm looking at you. It doesn't even really seem like they're that upset that they're not in the game.
I think that was what made it so heart wrenching, and you could obviously tell like this was like really really painful. I mean, like there wasn't there wasn't a can of Coke or a beer or a Skittles wrapper or either. There wasn't anything around him. Like he was obviously just up there just being like shit.
Yeah.
I'd be up there, drinking, watching the game, getting really into it and emotional. And, like, he can't even do that. He's so frustrated that he can't play that he can't even really get into the game.
Well, I mean, not only that, but he's going to be out all next year, too.
He's going to be out for a long time. I mean, this is one of those injuries that you got to manage it perfectly or he could never be the same again, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should just go to the Suns, man. Best training.
Well, that's true. I mean, and he also, the thing about him is once you get hurt once, I mean, maybe people don't, I never hear people make this comparison, but he plays a very Allen Iverson style of game.
Yeah.
I mean, he just goes out there, he plays, he throws his body around. And so once you get hurt once, you got to worry, a guy with that style of play, how long can he really last? Because that was the thing about AI. He never really got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last night, of course, I mean, other injuries. I mean, it's been injuries abound. Between blowouts and injuries, that's been the theme of the playoffs so far.
Look at Paul Pierce, though. I mean, really picking it up, I think. And I'm always writing Paul Pierce off as washed up. I mean, I'll admit that. If he has, like, four bad games, I'm like, oh, he's just old. He's washed up.
Yeah.
But the way he stuck it in there, and I bring that up as a segue because maybe the greatest fake stage injury of all time in playoff basketball, Paul Pierce that year, they won the title. So to see that he still has it makes me feel that the Celtics are actually more dangerous than I had expected.
I mean, Paul Pierce definitely brought it last night. I feel like they need to change his nickname from The Truth, which Greg Anthony was just running into the ground last night. to the garbage man, because his game is so garbage. He's just so, he's so slow and he's so herky jerky, and like he's shooting these, he just like bombs away, kicks that right leg out, but somehow it's so effective. It looks like he shouldn't be on the court at all, but he somehow fills it up. At last night he really provided the spark for the Celtics without Jesus Shuttlesworth. And without Rajon Rondo, I can't believe. I mean, I know Josh Smith went out sometime in the fourth quarter last night, but I can't believe the Celtics ended up winning that game last night.
No, I can't even really. And I'm not even going to put Jay Smooth going out on any sort of that matters at all. I mean, no disrespect to my man, but he's just out there on highlight reels. I don't look at him as a game-changing player. But no, I thought it was very impressive for sure. And with Rondo coming back next game, if Pierce can keep it up, I think they – well, I mean, you know, it's the Hawks. I don't believe the Hawks are really ever going to get out of the first round.
Yeah, I mean, that's so – I mean, I'm not a big Atlanta fan, but as I just said about Boris Diaw, you know, I have a, you know, big soft spot in my heart for Joe Johnson, even though he's committing highway robbery and making the amount of money that he currently is. Yeah. So, you know, I want to see him do well. And, yeah, they struggle so hard in the first round of the playoffs. And they had these amazing games where everything clicks. They will just blow out anybody, and then they come back and blow fourth quarter leads. And you know,
yeah, I mean, the Hawks are the epitome of. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just gonna say they're the epitome of playground all stars. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
definitely.
A bunch of guys who you would pick them first if you were playing in a playground game. But you know, you put them all in a team together, it doesn't mean that they're going to gel. You know.
Well, see, I would normally say yes. That has been how their team is built in the past. I would say it's a little bit different this year. I don't think they're quite as much like that this year. And they kind of are trying to do something at least offensively. And for whatever reason, it does go through Josh Smith, which is interesting. But I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, no one's going to take Kirk Heinrich first on the playground. Or Jeff Teague, really. I mean, come on.
Well, I mean, last night especially.
Jason Collins? I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, no, Jason Collins. I'm not, yeah. In any case, last night especially, it was a case of we are who we thought they were.
Yeah, totally.
Because they had been playing the reason they beat Boston the first game was because they played some really good team offense.
Yeah.
And last night, about midway through the third quarter, it was just all isolation all the time.
Yeah.
And that's what caused their downfall. And, I mean, they had a chance to really seize the series last night. And I don't see them – I don't see any way that they can come back and win this thing now after last night's game.
Agreed.
I agree
with that.
Yeah. Let's go to the other coast, the West Coast. Some might even say the best coast.
Hey-o.
Apparently, someone is in the middle of traffic.
Steve, what are you doing,
yeah,
dude?
What
do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? Things got crazy. I had to get close to a window. You guys are breaking up. I had to get close to a window.
Okay. Well,
I'm sorry, the window's closed.
Out of the traffic jam.
Yeah.
I'm very surprised and disappointed by the Denver Nuggets. I thought they would definitely give the Lakers a good series. I didn't really think they would win, but the fact that they're just getting blown out over and over.
Well, the second game score ended up being close. I mean, was the game actually close? No.
Word. Yeah. Well, I also didn't expect Andrew Bynum to actually play a good game at all in any game.
God, he looks amazing.
I mean, he looks so good. I mean, where was this guy for the past however many years? I mean, I don't believe he will play well throughout the playoffs. I just don't believe in Andrew Bynum as a player.
I would agree with you, but I mean, he's always looked like a basketball player.
Yes.
You know, he's never had like the Greg Oden brittle look to him. He never, you know, had like a. God, he never had like a Sean Bradley look to him. You know, he's an athletic looking guy, and he can certainly, you know, move pretty quickly.
And carry Playboy Playmates on his shoulder, even when he's out with a knee injury.
Yeah, I mean, he does it all.
he's a true Renaissance man.
I would not bet against Andrew Bynum at this point. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the future of his career and whether he stays with the Lakers, whether Kobe stays, you know, what if Bynum ends up being, you know, the next Shaq, you know, this big guy who just can get the ball down low and score at will.
Maybe. We'll see. I don't think he can really score like Shaq. I just don't think he's as dominant as Shaq was at all, really. I mean, I see what you're saying, but Shaq to me was more of a scoring threat than Bynum really is.
At his peak. I mean, certainly, obviously, Andrew Bynum's got a ways to go. But I think if there's any big man in the league currently who's shown promise, it's been a lot more him than Dwight Howard, certainly.
Oh, for sure, yeah. For sure. Can we say that Bynum actually cares more than Dwight Howard? That's scary.
Right, yeah, that's a little worrisome. I mean, kind of what you were saying about Derrick Rose, where he cares more about playing basketball than being a celebrity, that the opposite true is for Dwight Howard.
Mm. That is very true. I feel like Dwight Howard also has not improved in the past, like, 3 years. Like, I feel like he's been the exact same dude. He was 3 years ago.
I think he takes his offensive lessons from who was it? Who was the Asian dude who posted up the chair? Him and that guy are going hard in the gym.
Word.
Who was that guy? Come on, he's pushing the Nets now.
I know what you're talking about.
I want to say Jeremy Lin, but that's just the biggest stereotype on the face of the planet.
Yeah, let's not get too racist here. What was that guy's name? I'll remember it eventually. I've just been somewhat disappointed by the Nuggets. I thought they would at least play him close, and unfortunately it looks like
they're going to
be done in 4 or 5. So
yeah.
The other Los Angeles team in the first time in the playoffs since, I mean,
who knows?
Since Julius Caesar was reigning supreme.
It's quite some time ago.
I know. It's very long. The Clippers with a huge comeback. They were getting blown out. And then, I mean, I even turned the game off after, like, midway through the second quarter. I was like, oh, there's no point in watching this. And then, of course, they come back. What do we make of that? I mean, how do you think that maybe the Clippers just needed to realize that playoff basketball was upon them? Or do you think they're one of these teams that can't get motivated unless they're way behind?
I think they got lucky and somehow motivated themselves. But to see that Nick Young played a little bit of a role in that, I mean, listen, I've watched quite a bit of Nick Young. It's luck. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, that guy would win a game for the Wizards and people like, oh, he's so good. Look at this. And he's from LA, so I know he's pumped up. But then the next game he would be like, I could have played better than him. So I really think that from the Clippers, I don't know what it is that gets them there, but I think that they just got lucky in that game and were able to make a comeback. And, you know, maybe the Grizz let their they let their guard down a little bit or something. But yeah, I don't believe that the Clippers are, I just don't know if they have the mental fortitude to really be a playoff team. I mean, again, highlight reel team to me.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yi Jin Lee was the player that I was thinking of.
Yi Jin Long, yeah.
Yes.
That's who it is.
Yeah. He played on some shares.
Mavs for some period of time?
He's been on like half the teams.
Yes, I think he's currently on the Mavericks, isn't he?
I think he is.
I think he's on their D League team. Now, I'm pretty sure he was with Dallas and then got demoted to their D League team.
That's not good.
That's definitely not.
The Clippers, I agree. I guess maybe it's more surprising that the Grizzlies, after they've proven that they were battle tested after last year's playoffs, allowed the Clippers to get back into the game and steal the first one when they were up so much.
That surprised me also. To me, that game was a lot more about the Grizzlies obviously blowing it than the Clippers finally putting it all together or anything like that.
It went from blowout to blowing on.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Look at you. You are an English major.
Woo! I don't know what that was.
Little Ric Flair.
I guess so. I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens. They've only played one game, right?
Yeah. There's another game.
Yeah. We've also got Oklahoma City, Dallas, kind of renewing. I don't know. They've got a nice little rivalry going on here down in the southern Midwest, if you will. Definitely two close games. I mean, the Mavericks have looked done all season, but at least they're given the Thunder a game of it here. So,
yeah, nice to see. But I got OKC going to the finals.
Fair enough, Jimmy TV.
Well, I don't know about them going to the finals, but obviously I think they're going to get out of the series now that they have the 2-0 advantage. Not that Dallas certainly is making them work for it, and if Dallas, you know, can win these next two games, which they're certainly capable of, you know, they've been playing right with the Thunder, then they can certainly stretch this out to 6 or 7. But if they drop one at home, this one's going to be over in 5.
Yeah, they need the Mavericks. It's painfully obvious the Mavericks need an infusion of some younger players. I don't even know if they need to be all that talented, but they just need some younger bodies in there. They're just
I mean, especially after winning the championship. I mean, you need someone in there with this playing with the passion, with a chip on their shoulder, and not people who have just won NBA rings.
I agree. And I mean, that Lamar Odom thing was completely disastrous.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I mean, he's maybe the most mentally weak good player I think I've ever seen. I mean, are you kidding me right now?
Like,
deactivated him.
It's all those gummy bears.
It's all that candy, son.
He was the sixth man of the year last year. I mean, I used to love Lamar Odom, and now I actually hate him.
Ooh.
Well, what can I say? I mean, like, you know, you leave one of the best teams when they start to go down to one, maybe the best franchise to play for. I mean, if you don't know anything about the Mavericks locker room, look it up online. I mean, although now it's weird colleges copying that. That's a little scary. But anyway, the point I'm making is I really have no respect for Lamar Odom. I think the Mavericks, I agree. Maybe they will get your boy, Deron Williams. He's from Dallas.
Mm-hmm. He is. I suppose we shall see, but that's a discussion for a different time.
Yes, it is.
Before we get into something else, the Mavericks locker room, didn't Delonte West live in there for a little bit?
I believe Delonte West did live in the Mavericks locker room. I'll be honest with you, Delonte West is living on my couch right now.
Oh, yeah?
He's listening to this podcast. He's from D.C. We worked at the same furniture store in the off season, you know, so he's just hanging out.
Excellent. Sweet. I'm glad to hear that. Delonte, it sounds like Delonte has found a good home.
That's why I'm just keeping him out of trouble.
The last
series. I'm like the worldwide West of the D.C. area.
Oh, okay.
Excellent. I'm glad we have you on the podcast, then.
Can I say?
The last series that we'll talk about, because right now I'm just telling you guys right now, we will not be talking about this Heat-Knicks series because it's really crappy and stupid.
Yep.
And it's probably getting blown up all over the interwebs and on ESPN right now. So if you want some Knicks Heat coverage,
go somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. The other series, last series we'll be talking about, Little Pacers, Little Magic, probably maybe the most surprising series of all, just because...
It's happening?
Well, not only because it's happening, but because the Magic are playing good ball without Dwight Howard. I mean, you know, they're capable of playing good ball, but they're, like, actually competing in the series right now.
True.
Yep.
It's, I mean, right now, I believe it's at halftime. Maybe.
It's at the end of the third.
It is at the end of the third, yeah.
Rush.
Yeah. Okay. Not looking good, okay. But hey.
Well, at halftime, they were only down 4.
Yeah. I understand. You were trying.
Yes, but, I mean, the Pacers, a surprising team as well. You kind of forget Indiana has a team. I mean, since Reggie Miller was a left, you know, the Pacers haven't gotten a lot of pub. But they've got a nice, solid team there. I don't think they're really championship quality, but they could make maybe a little noise. They could give Indiana, maybe Miami, maybe a little run for their money.
They're going to make you work. I mean, we know that.
Yeah.
They've got guys who, I mean, you know, they're guys who are going to work hard, even if they may not be, like, you know, the greatest of players.
That is very true. Jimmy TV, you got anything to say about this?
I mean, just I watched a little bit of game one, I guess. The past few games, I think, have been on NBA TV, so they're obviously kind of not giving it any kind of priority whatsoever.
Yeah.
Greg Anthony announcing with Ian Eagle. I mean, Ian Eagle announcing basketball. I don't know where that came from.
Ian Eagle does the CBS regular season college games.
Wow. All right. Well, there you go.
What kind of shocked me a little bit was how many players on both teams always kind of seem to be in the playoffs. usually with maybe other teams that have a little bit bigger stars and stuff like that. But a lot of the guys who are playing the most minutes in this series are people who have been in the playoffs before, and I thought that was kind of interesting. Just that, you know,
David West being the prime example, perhaps.
Yeah, David West, George Hill was with the Spurs teams for a while. Barbozo has been there with the Suns. So is Louis Amunson. Those are the players in the Pacers, at least. And then obviously the Magic have been there the past few years anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, now that again they have some Suns too with Jason Richardson and Q Rich. And yeah, they got some stuff going on. Have you guys seen the video of Duhan doing a little dance after Granger walked or something like that at the end of game one?
No, I have not.
Do you have any idea what I'm talking about? I'll have to send you all the link. It's really funny.
Yeah, we'll have to put it in the post. So come by the website and definitely check out the post if you're an iTunes listener.
That's right.
Before we stop talking sport, we go over to TV. Why don't we make some first round predictions here? Just winners of the first round series. We don't have to go any farther than that.
I would say the Spurs, the Grizzlies. I mean, I guess I'm going chalk in the West with the Spurs. I think the Grizzlies will get going, the Lakers and the Thunder. Mm-hmm. I would say all pretty more or less easily. I don't think any of those series are going to go on for too long. I do think this Pacers series and the Boston series are going to go on for a little bit longer. I think they'll go 6 or 7. I'm willing it to happen that Atlanta will win. I really hope so. So I'll say them, even though I don't really actually think they will. And then I go with the Bulls. I think they'll get their shit together and figure it out. The Heat, obviously, don't even need to talk about it. And then Danny Granger is far and away the most talented player in that other series, so I'd say the Pacers.
Okay. No doubt. Danny Granger, 20 points tonight.
Yeah.
7 rebounds, 3 assists, and the game ain't even over yet, so that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that ain't bad. Eugene, what do you got for us?
Well, I mean, I think if we're going to work backwards here, I mean, you know, how do I not pick the Heat, right? You got to do that. I'm going to go ahead and take the 76ers. Ooh. I'm going to take Orlando, Boston, Spurs, OKC, obviously, Lakers, Memphis.
Yeah, so you're going chalk on the West, too.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you're picking Philadelphia because you don't think Chicago will be able to regain the emotional momentum they had coming in with Rose's return.
I agree, and I think that Philadelphia, with a defensive-focused team, can disrupt the rhythm of guys like Dang or whatever who are not consistent players who they need to play well to win.
Myself, I'll definitely go the Lakers. I think Dallas might be able to make it a bit of a series, so I'll say Thunder and 6. It'll be interesting to see how Memphis responds tonight, but they've just got the much better actual team. Maybe if the Clippers had Chauncey and he wasn't hurt, they could definitely contend and beat the Grizzlies, but I think because of that, the Grizzlies will probably win that. And clearly, San Antonio wants to get this done and most likely will get it done in no more than five games. So going chalk in the West as well. I actually think Chicago will end up winning, but they won't go any farther than the second round.
Okay.
I've got Boston. I think Boston might just win the next three and just end it. I really feel like last night's game is going to be a huge momentum changer, especially since they're going back to Boston. They're getting an extra day of rest, too. They're not playing tomorrow night. They're playing Friday night. And I'm assuming Ray Allen will probably make a return in at least one of these Boston games.
Word.
So I think Boston will probably end it here in the next three. Indiana will win to me, and I'm hoping that the Knicks can make it at least a little bit of a series, but between the Iman Shumpert injury and the idiocy of Amari Stoudemire, I'd be surprised if the Heat even won one game. I mean, the Knicks even won one game. So,
word.
There you have that. But we're going long here, clearly. We're going to kick this over to a part two.
TV.
Where we talk some television, some television currently on air, some television currently in syndication. So definitely come out and come over and check that out. But if you won't, definitely come over to the website, in-the-bag2gs.com. We've really been blowing out the sports this week. We had the NFL draft analyses earlier on Monday, talked some playoff hockey, and then, of course, this podcast. And we just posted a Dark Knight Returns trailer article, so you can come check that out if you guys are
good
fans.
It's
We're
good.
Balling right now. We're balling.
And, yeah, so definitely come by the website, and hopefully you'll join us for the part two.